الله الرحمن الرحيم. Yesterday the 22nd para was recited. We are dealing busy with Surah Al-Ahzab. So towards the end of the 21st para and the beginning of the 22nd para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, the blessed wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the role models for the women of the remaining ummah. So Nabi sallallahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he gives them some commands and some guidelines, and this should be true and a way to follow for the rest of the pious women of the ummah. So among the advice and the rules that Nabi sallallahu, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs the Azwaj al-Mutahharat. The first instruction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they should not speak in soft and alluring tones. So when a woman speaks to a stranger, to a na-mahram, then she should speak in a matter-of-fact tone where it is necessary. You shouldn't talk without necessity. Where there is a necessity, then it should be very short and matter-of-fact, and she should make her voice in such a way that, since women's voices are naturally very soft and alluring, so she should make an effort to make her voice and her sound non-alluring. So it should be very formal, matter-of-fact, no chit-chat and flirting. The next command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, and which is a lesson for all the women of the ummah, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, that a woman should remain in the confines of her home. She should not venture out of the house without dire necessity. So her actual and original destiny, the domain, is the confines of the house. Ulama say the first level of parda for a woman is that she should remain in a home. That is her parda. She shouldn't be going out of the house. And the next command is, if she has to come out of the house out of necessity. So the next command is that, وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. She should not venture out and expose herself like how the women of Jahiliyyah and the period of ignorance would expose themselves. So under this, the ulama mentioned that she should not go for petty reasons out of the house, but where there is a genuine need, then she will go out of the house, but with these things, what it means not to expose oneself is, a woman should cover her whole self, she should cover her face, she should cover her body with a loose clothing, which doesn't reveal the figure of the body. It should not be attractive, it shouldn't have fancy designer name. She should... It shouldn't be attracting somebody's attention. In the same way, it shouldn't be perfumed, etc. The next command is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ, and perform the salat, وَآتِينَا الزَّكَاةَ, and discharge the zakat. The next command Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, which is a lesson for all the women, and obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the last command, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and remember and make mention and teach to one another the ayats of the Quran Sharif that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in your homes, and also the hadith which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught you. You should discuss it, teach it to one another. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions 10 qualities which should be found in Muslim believers and believing men as well as women. So in this ayat, normally the women are included when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, the women are included in it. But in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes specific mention of women. One of the Sahabiyat mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the men go out in jihad, they come to the masjid for salat, and they present themselves in the janaza, they go to the qabristan, and they gather a lot of reward. What about we women? We are left behind in these things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows them that in these aspects, a woman can compete with men and even surpass them. So the 10 qualities are, first, Islam. That means to completely subjugate oneself to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second quality is the quality of Iman. To have an unflinching conviction in the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third quality is to be obedient to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fourth, to be truthful in word as well as in deed. That means your actions also should be in accordance with the Sharia. The next quality is the quality of patience. And ulama mentioned that patience is not just restricted to having patience and exercising sabr at the time of some calamity that has befallen us. Sabr is inclusive of this, that a person is steadfast on the laws of Sharia, he discharges them diligently, as well as in the time when he is tempted by his nafs to commit sin, then he restricts himself, that is also included in sabr. The next quality is the quality of humility. What also should be found in believing men and women should be the quality of giving charity, the quality of fasting. Like we fast in the month of Ramadan, also nafal fast and voluntary fast also, the qualities of good believing men and women is this, that they fast often and they protect their chastity and they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for them forgiveness from His side and a great reward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reward, which is regarded as great, is according to His greatness. The next ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have decided some matter for you, then you don't have a choice in that matter. So sometimes we are faced with that situation that the law of the land favors you, whereas it runs in complete contradiction of the law of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example now, the woman by Sharia is supposed to be getting half the share of her brother, but the law of the land tells that she's got an equal share with the siblings. So now if she pursues that, she doesn't have the choice to do that. She's in direct disobedience of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ظَلَّ ظَلَالًا مُبِينًا. These people are completely deviate and they have lost their path. Another example is, a person is a businessman, he files for bankruptcy, and the law of the land absolves him of all his debts. But according to the Sharia, he is still indebted to his creditors. So even if the law does favors him, the Sharia says that as long as 1 cent is on his responsibility, he has to discharge that. In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the khatm and buat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّنْ رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَاكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. So the finality of the nubuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is amongst those things that a person has to believe. If somebody doubts in this, he even has to ask somebody who makes this claim that what's your proof, he loses his iman. So it will be unflinching conviction in the finality of the nubuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like it has been mentioned many times before, is that this is one ibadat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that you should do abundantly. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. And this ibadat is not restricted to any time and place and condition, in all conditions, sleeping, lying down, sitting, in a standing position, in every position, a person should be making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some social etiquette, some etiquettes that we have to abide by. So, although it is discussing the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the ulama extract masail from this, they say that, when لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتَ النَّبِيِّ إِلَّا يُؤْذَلَ لَكُمْ, you are not to enter any stranger's house, except that you are given permission. You don't barge into somebody's house. You're not permitted to enter into anybody's house without permission. The second etiquette that is taught is that if you are invited to meals, then you shouldn't go before time. غَيْرَ نَاظِرِينَ إِنَا, that you have to wait for the host to serve and then you put that person into inconvenience. So you should go as per the time that that person has told you. And the third etiquette that is taught is that once you have been done, you should depart and move from there. You shouldn't get involved in speak and chit chat and inconvenience the host. In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Sending salawat on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such a blessed act that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the malaika, are busy in this noble deed, and the believers are instructed to read durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, on the onset of Ramadan, just before Ramadan could begin, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given a khutbah and he ascended the minbar. Jibreel alayhi wa sallam had made this curse. He said, woe to that person who hears the blessed name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and does not send durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is the duty of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be indebted to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to acknowledge the favors that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done. And in fact, by sending durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person earns the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He earns the proximity and closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our Shaykh advises us that minimum a person should be reading 100 times durood sharif daily. And on the day of Friday, at least 300 times, you should take out time and read durood 300 times on the Friday. In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the believers that adopt taqwa and say that which is rightful and correct. So ulama say that when you have to advise somebody, you have to say something to somebody, you have to make amr bil ma'ruf, nahi anil munkar, then the person should keep this in mind, that what I am saying is verified and correct. So the thing that I am telling this person must be 100% correct. It must be verified and correct. It must be something that is just hearsay, something that I heard. The next thing the person should remember, that even if it is correct, it should be said with the right intention. Sometimes the correct thing is said and it is has a negative intention. For example, a person has to settle scores with somebody and now he's mentioned the law of Shariat, but just the intention is just to get even with that person. So the intention should be correct, that if I'm making Amar bil Ma'ruf, I'm advising somebody, I'm doing it for his betterment, I got his welfare at heart. And also, whatever I'm saying, it should be said on the right occasion. So if what you are saying is right, the intention is right, but the occasion also in which it is said should be also right. The next surah is Surah Sabah. So in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him a melodious voice, that when he would make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mountains and the birds also would make dhikr with him. next thing that is mentioned about Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made pliable and soft the metal and iron. Iron was made pliable to him, and he was able to carve out and make things, mold things with metal very easily. He would make coats of arms. From this we understand that to do craft and to be an artisan, to work with your hands, this is a sunnah of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and in no way somebody should be looked down upon somebody who does something with his hands. He's an artisan, he's earning his livelihood through the sweat of his brow and the earning of his hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the miracle of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, that in today's time we have the aeroplane. So this was an invention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already given to Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam thousands of years ago. That on his throne, in a short space in the morning, he would traverse the distance of 1 month. So 1 month journey is 500 kilometers, 500 miles. That journey would be done in a short moment of time. In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. So Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam was instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to build the Baytul Maqdis, the Masjid al-Aqsa. So, and in between, it was just time for him to die. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it that he reclined on his staff, and in a standing position, his death had come. So the jinnat that were helping him and doing the work of labor and building the masjid, they are not alimul ghaib. They don't know the unseen. And they did not gather and they did not work out that Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam has passed on. So from that we understand that the jinnat do not know what is unseen. So they can't tell you now what is in the exclusive knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't have the knowledge for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the incident of Saba, the people of Saba, after whom the surah is named. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted them every type of blessing. So they had fresh water being fed from a huge dam. They had lush and very, very lush gardens in which different types of fruits would grow. And so beautiful these gardens and orchards were, that if a person had to walk for kilometers on either side, he would find orchards laden with fruit. But what was the outcome? That they were ungrateful to the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in spite of notwithstanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made the sustenance very easy for them. They made kufr and they denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused a flood to come and they were all destroyed. In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَىٰ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ. So in this world, person feels that a person has contacts, he has some friend, somebody can make a plan for him. In the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no friend, no cousin, no relative, no contact can intercede on one's behalf without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the Quran Sharif, the righteous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be given permission to intercede on one's behalf. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would advise the mushrikeen and the disbelievers to bring iman and save themselves from the everlasting punishment of Jahannam, so they would mock Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they would reply in this manner, that we have all the things going for us. We have so much of wealth, we have so much of progeny and children. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at us favorably, and for this reason, He has given us so much of wealth and children. So in the akhirah also, when we will die, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish us. He will look at us favorably. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that according to His wisdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expands sustenance for some, whoever he wishes. So sometimes a person may be a disbeliever, but his sustenance is expanded. And for whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, he constricts his sustenance. So this is as per the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a trial. So a person should not be beguiled that a person has a lot of wealth, etc. That means he is prosperous in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is just a test for him. Hazrat Umar Palanpuri rahmatullah alayhi explained this in a very nice example. And he says, now in one's home, a person has a parrot and as a pet, and he feeds that parrot. So that parrot is also being fed. And in the same token, there's a rat and a mouse that is playing havoc in the house. So a person puts a trap out and he puts a nice wholesome chunk of cheese. But that piece of cheese that he's put there is not there for any, because that mouse is looked at favorably. This is as a trial and a thing to catch that creature. So in the same way, if the kuffar are given prosperity, it is an imtihan and is a trial for them. It is not anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at them favorably. For that reason, they have been given a lot of wealth. The next surah is Surah Fatir. So in this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since it is a Makki surah, and as Hazrat Musa has explained to us many times, that in the Makki surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the fundamentals of deen. That means tawheed, risalat, the life after death. So in this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about his powers and his qudrat and his... So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down his mercy in the form of rain or in the form of sustenance, then nobody can hold it back. And on the contrary, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to hold it back, he doesn't allow the rain to fall, he doesn't allow the crops to grow, then there's nobody that can make it grow. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ponder over the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing humankind and says that after you have seen all these powers and qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can you believe in any other creator besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who provides you your sustenance exclusively? He alone controls the rains and the crops, and he allows your sustenance to grow. In the same page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the concept of life after death, and says, explains it with an example, and says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one that is responsible for sending the wind. And the wind moves the clouds from one place to another. And sometimes a land is completely barren, dead. There's absolutely no life. And the rain falls in that place. And through the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this land is brought back to life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَلِكَ النُّشُورِ. In the same way, after you have passed on, after you have been placed into your grave and your bones have disintegrated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will revive you and bring you back to life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. So no matter where a person is, in what position a person may be, he should always remind himself that we are all in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot be independent and see to our own things on our own. We are, for the oxygen that we breathe, the water that we drink, the food that we need to nourish ourselves, in all these things we are dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person should not become haughty and think that we are somebody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, He will remove you. إِنْ يَشَاءُ يُذْهِبْكُمْ وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring a new creation altogether. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next page speaks about his power and his qudrat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who rains down the water from the skies, and by virtue of this water, fruits of different color, different taste, right, of a different texture, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings forth through the means of this water. So a person should look at this and see who is this being that is bringing, causing all this to happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings our attention, reflects on the mountains, different colors, some are red, some are white. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created different animals, humankind of different colors, different species. A person should look at this, and this should remind him that there is a creator behind all this, and he should get the ma'rifat and the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a business that can never fail. Tijaratan lan tabur. So in the dunya, a person goes into a business venture, there's all possibility that the venture fails. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there are three prescriptions for a business of the akhirat, right, to never fail. And that is, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْفُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ, they recite the Qur'an Sharif, they establish salat, and they spend from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left them in open and in secret also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَن تَبُورَ, they will enjoy a business which will never fail. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them abundant reward. So three things, tilawat of the Qur'an Sharif, iqamat al-salah, that means to perform salah with all the required aspects that we are supposed to adhere to, and spending freely in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to one's means. Where the occasion demands, it should be spent secretly, and other occasion the person spends openly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the same page, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the heirs of the Qur'an Sharif. So the believers, they can be categorized into three categories as according to how much they practice upon the teachings of the Qur'an and the Hadith. So the foremost category is those that excel and they compete with one another in good deeds. So they will be in the higher stages of Jannat. In the middle category are those people that do the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they also commit some sins. So they, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them, they will enjoy a good position in Jannat also. And the last category, فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمُ لِلَفْسِ, those that have transgressed themselves and wronged themselves. So they are those people who committed sin and they failed to make tawbah. They were very lax in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as far as they are concerned. So all three are promised Jannat by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the last category, the ظَالِمُ لِلَفْسِ, it is tending to the mashiyat and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may punish them, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, He may forgive them. When they entered into Jannat, this is the dua the people of Jannat will make. Alhamdulillah alladhi azhaba anna al-hazan. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He who has removed from us our grief and sorrow. In the last ayat of this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to take a person to task for the actions that he has done, the kufr, the disobedience that he has done, then no creature would be left alive. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a set time for everything, so He doesn't take people to task immediately.